This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my understanding, my entire will. Give me only your love and your grace, because that's enough for me. Your love and your grace are enough for me. Amen.
Amen.
Let's be seated. Well, we have a children's minister who is just excited to share with us some things today about what our Sunday school has been up to. So, Miss D, please come on up.
Thank you, Father Marty.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we learned how to do the Ten Commandments using our ten fingers, and I want to teach you.
Okay.
And then if you get it, then maybe we can teach everybody here. And
okay.
I see some students around who I'll call them up in a little bit,
cool.
and they'll help the cool. whole congregation.
Now, I try to follow them.
Do you know them, all ten
well,
of them, in order? Because we Sunday school children have been learning all about this.
Okay,
so
well, let's see.
All hold right. your one finger up. There is one God.
There is one God.
That's right. That's our first commandment.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Got it.
Our second one, we put both hands up. And this one is, don't bow down to false gods.
Don't bow down to false gods.
That's right.
Love it, love it.
Okay, number three, that's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Got
three
it.
Three in one God. Don't use the Lord's name in vain.
I won't.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
A lot of us do,
okay.
So we have to remember this.
Don't use the Lord's name in vain.
And which commandment is that?
Three.
Number three. Okay, number four, you're going to need both hands.
Both hands, ready.
Two on each side.
Yep, got it.
We're going to make a church.
Okay.
Got okay, it. Get a little bit more of a church there.
Oh, okay.
There you go, there you go.
All right, I got it.
Okay, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
You got it, all
That's
right.
That's what we're all doing right now.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, number five.
All right.
One hand, salute. Honor your parents.
Honor your parents.
Got it. Number six, one hand, one finger on that hand, and then all the fingers on this hand make
okay,
six.
Doesn't matter which way.
Okay. Doesn't matter which way.
Six. Okay. Six.
Okay. And this one is don't kill.
Ooh.
Don't kill.
Don't kill.
Right. Number seven is a great one because
right.
you have five fingers on this hand.
Got it.
And two fingers on this
Got
hand.
Got it. I'm ready.
This is a couple.
Yep.
So so in the Bible, the way we usually say it is don't commit adultery. But what we say is honor your marriage vows. Honor your marriage vows.
I do. I do.
Good.
Honor your marriage vows.
It is a commandment.
Yes.
All right. And then number eight.
Eight. Yes. Yes.
Three fingers.
Three.
You're going to grab with your other hand, your five fingers, and pull.
Pull.
Don't steal.
Oh, okay.
Don't steal.
Don't steal.
Got it.
Okay. Unless it's baseball. Okay.
All right, we're almost there. We're on number nine. Don't lie.
So
it's like you're on the witness stand, and you've got your hand up, but this hand's covering your mouth. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
And number 10, which is my favorite,
okay.
you have to use all your fingers
got it.
And grab and grab and grab and grab and grab and grab. Don't want what other people have or
don't
covet. Amen. Yeah. All right. You did all 10. Give Father Marty a hand. Now, I would love for any of our Sunday school children that are here now and our Sunday school visitors who maybe weren't in Sunday school these last two Sundays when we learned it, I'd love for you to come up now And any teachers, if you'll come too, that would be great. I know we don't have that many. Come on up. We'll just put you right up here with Father Marty. McKenna's here. Oh, look, Miles is here. Elias and Gordy. Come on up, you guys. Would you like to come up, Kira? Okay. Kira's visiting with her grandmother. She's all the way from Coral Gables? Coral Springs. All right. So we, Father Marty, I hope I'm not taking too long. Can we introduce our five students
who
are here?
Yes, you may.
Okay, great. So would you say your name and what grade you're in?
My name is McKenna, and I'm in second grade.
My name is Miles, and I'm in third grade.
My name is Lorenzo, and I'm in first grade.
My name is Gordy, and I'm in third grade.
My name is Elias, and I'm in fourth grade.
Thank you, guys. And I, teachers, I think I'll just point you out. We have our wonderful teachers here. On either side, we've got two godly play teachers who meet every third Sunday with the children, and we have two Sunday school teachers that meet the first and second Sundays. Okay, that's it. Now we're going to teach the congregation. All right, put one finger up, everybody. What do we say? Number two. Doing great. Number three.
Don't take the Lord.
Got it, Miles. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Good one. Number four.
Church.
Remember Sabbath and keep it holy. Congregation, you can say it too. Number five.
Honor your parents.
Good job. Number six.
Don't kill.
Number seven. Honor your marriage vows. Number eight.
Don't steal.
Number nine. Good, good, good. And number 10?
Covet. Don't covet.
Don't want what other people have or don't covet. Give yourselves a hand. That's it, Father Marty.
Thank you so much. Way to go,
guys
and gals.
Thank you.
And thanks to help from one of our youth, Noah Haddad, at the offertory time, we have a short video to show you of our kids performing that. So thank you all very much. The prayer that I prayed at the beginning of this time is a paraphrase of a famous prayer of St. Ignatius Loyola. If you don't know, he is the founder of what's called the Jesuit order on the Roman Catholic side of things, but his influence and his approach to spirituality has gone so far around the world over the centuries. And the theme of that prayer is very much in accord with what we are talking about today, especially in this gospel parable, but it has so much to do with humility. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. I give it all to you, because that's where it came from. And give me only your love and your grace, because that's enough for me. Beautiful prayer. And it is really getting at the heart of what our Christian journey is all about, and that is our dependence totally on God. Humility. When I was doing my doctoral studies, we had to do a paper on Andrew Murray, who wrote what's considered to be sort of the classic book about humility. And you won't have to read the book because I'll tell you in summary fashion, the whole thing is about the fact that humility is not really itself a virtue. It is that which underlies every single virtue we try to take on. Because humility is about an understanding that everything we are, everything we will ever be, is from our dependence upon God, from whom all blessings flow. And so this humility becomes crucial. It's that without which we don't go anywhere on our journey. And if we forget our dependence upon God from the get-go, we're in trouble. If we forget our dependence upon God in the middle of the journey, we're in trouble. And if we forget it towards the end of our journey, we are really in trouble. It's about depending on God. So humility comes from a root word, humus or hummus, and it's not the Lebanese little dip that we all love, but it means of the earth, that we are grounded because we understand it all comes from God. The romantic poets that I love, I don't know who gets credit for it, but there's this one poem I remember that he talks about ultimate beauty is when we can see a bud of a flower on a dung heap and truly appreciate it. The thought being that to be grounded, to be of the earth, is just that, to see that beauty there. Humility. So we come to this incredible parable today. Now, those of you who are doing the small group series that Rev Carroll has done and continues to do, and I have found it so insightful with the author's ability to bring out new meaning for me in these parables. And if you remember when she starts in talking about parables with 3 weeks ago, she tells us that in all of these stories, there's always this gotcha moment, this aha moment, that when Jesus tells these stories, his audience and we are expecting that it's going to go a certain way, and then suddenly, gotcha, nope, it's just the opposite. So this one's no exception, this parable that we hear today. So on the one hand, you have this Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were the holiest of holiest people that the Jewish people that would be in Jesus' audience knew. They had to fast once a year on the Day of the Atonement. Some of them thought they'd do more, so they might do it once a month, once a week. This guy, twice a week, he fasts. Now for them, it just doesn't mean that we just eat one main meal and the lesser of the two meals doesn't add up to what we had with the main one and all of that kind of logistical stuff we do. No, they don't eat, period. He does it twice a week. Pretty impressive. He gives a tenth of his income. Pretty impressive. If we all did that, we would have no problems in this church. So, he's doing good stuff. And the audience that hears this, they're saying, right on, this is a great Pharisee. He's doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and then some. But do you notice the attitude? It says he's in the temple praying. I do this. I do that. It's all about him. It's all about bragging to God. It's almost like there's a contractual thing that he is trying to create here. God, I do this, so therefore you need to do for me. The minute we get into that attitude, we lose everything. It is no longer gratitude. It's a contract that we want to create with God. And that is not going to help us on the journey. But for those people to hear him say that, oh, wow, yeah, this guy's doing it all right. This is great. Then you come to the guy on the other side. Now, He's a tax collector. Now, they don't have a great reputation even in our day and age, but they have a job to do. But in that day, if you can go back to World War II, if you're that old, they were the Quislings of the day. They were the ones who conspired with the enemy. They were the ones who would make money by allying themselves with the occupying Romans and taking extra money from their own people. They were traitors. They were despised. You think the Jews hated the Samaritans? They hated the tax collectors more than that, because they used to be a part of them. Now, when Jesus tells this story, well, wow, we got this holy Pharisee and we got this scum of the earth tax collector, and everybody in the audience is thinking, well, we know who's going to win this battle, don't we? And there's the gotcha. This man went home righteous. Humble. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Understanding that it's not about me, that it's about God. So there is the gotcha there for us. There is that crucial thing for us that the minute, like the Pharisee, we start using as our basis for our level of spiritual maturity, well, I'm better than that guy and that gal and that one. The minute that we, as John Claypool would call it, that sidewise glance of envy, the minute that we're doing that, we are in trouble. Because we end up with a contractual relationship with God, thinking that, God, now you need to do this for me, because I did this for you. So here we are. There is, in that second reading, this incredible culmination that we hear about. I ran across something along the way. It's a story told of a parish that was in need of a pastor. They're accepting applications. And so they received this letter, and it goes something like this. I understand your church is looking for a pastor. I'd like to submit my application. I'm generally considered to be a pretty good preacher. I've been a leader in most of the places I've served. I've found time to do some writing on the side. I'm over 50, no kids. My health isn't so great, but I still manage to get enough work done. And as for a reference, well, I'm somewhat handicapped. I've never served in any place for more than 3 years. And the churches where I've been, well, they've been pretty small. And some places I had to leave because my ministry honestly caused riots and disturbances. And I didn't get along too well with the other religious leaders in the town. And that might influence the kind of references you're going to get. And I've been threatened several times, and I've been physically attacked. And I need to tell you, I'm a convicted felon, and I've been in jail several times. So you need to know, too, that there's some people who are running around trying to undermine my work. But I believe I'd be perfect for your church. And the search committee's looking around, who on earth is this? And they look, and the letter is signed, Paul. Paul. If there was anyone in the history of Christianity who learned the virtue of humility underlying all other virtues, it is Paul. We know his story. We know that this event happened in his life, that suddenly he realized it wasn't about him, it was about God. And everything changed. And so He tells us in so many ways that it's not about him, it is about God, that we hold this treasure in earthen vessels to make it clear that it's not coming from us, it's coming from God. And so he goes throughout his ministry understanding that. And so we come to the culmination of it today in this 2 Timothy reading. What incredible words he tells us. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Then in the midst of it all that really matters is that dependent upon God, we do the right thing and we hang in there. It's not about success. It's about faithfulness because of our dependence on him. Would that that would be each of our epitaphs. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Nothing better. When we look at this parable, when we look at the life of Paul, when we look at everything that Jesus tries to teach us and the way he even lives, Jesus makes it clear throughout. Everything I have, it comes from the Father. Though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be exploited. Rather, he took the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. It was thus that Jesus humbled himself. What better example? When we teach the Episcopal 101 class, we always come across this particular chapter, and it ends with this old African-American spiritual prayer. And to me, it is one of the most impactful short prayers that I have ever heard. Lord, I know that I'm not all that I ought to be. And I know that I am not yet all that I'm gonna be. But Lord, I sure thank you. I'm not what I used to be. May that be our humble prayer. Amen. Amen.